Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read through verse 13. To everything, I want you to listen to this tonight. To everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. And a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, and a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, and a time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Now, before I tell you my message tonight, I'm going to tell you this, my name and my message. But I'm going to talk about extremes. And as you hear this, there's a time for everything, a season for everything. And we've all had times of extreme in our life when somebody has died or there's been a birth or whatever. But you don't always live there. Come on. We all go through things, and there's certain things that we don't mind them. Other times we hate certain things that we're going through. And if I went around here tonight, you could probably name an extreme that's happened probably within the last 6 months in your life or maybe the last year. But I'm not talking about your extremes tonight. What I'm talking about tonight is living life between the extremes. Come on. Whatever comes to your life, and there are going to be things that are going to come. But what you need to focus on is what I do between the extremes. Amen? Let's worship the Lord right now. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts here tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we want you, Lord. You be seated. A person would have to be totally oblivious not to hear the expression that there is a time for everything. And one writer characterized the seven seasons of life this way, like this. Spills of infancy. Everything goes on the floor as you play the game of eye drop, you pick up. Come on, moms, can we say amen? Then there comes the drills of childhood. Spelling drills, multiplication drills, Bible drills, the lesson drilled into your head by your parents and by your teacher. Next comes the thrills of the teen years. I feel the feeling of immorality, roller coaster rides, and dancing, and acne. Then there are the bills of adult living. Work bills, marriage bills, buying a house bills, cars bills, raising children bills, bills and lots of bills. Amen. Then there are the ills of the hills. When the excitement of the midlife crisis lands you in the hospital. Then there comes the pills of over the hill. One for arthritis, one pill for high blood pressure, one for this and one for that. Then you get the wills of the old age. I will get up. I will get up. No, I will not get up. I can't get up. Somebody help. That is from Sheila Crow in Changing Seasons. Everyone can identify with those ills, pills, and wills. Amen? Now we laugh, but we only laugh because it's a common experience. Amen? You live there. And there is much frustration, folks, with being in one stage and knowing the next stage is coming. Amen? And we know that that is the case. When you read verse 11, it tells us God said, hath set eternity in their heart. We are different, folks, from plants. We are different from insects. We are different from animals in that we sense the existence of eternity and the abstractedness of God. Animals and plants, life supply, or they simply respond to the moment, and it is the moment that it is in the environment. If there is food, they eat it. They enjoy it. If there is a competitor for food, they fight for it. They exist and reproduce without regard to history or to the future. They are the true externalists and living in the moment. But man, folks, man is different. Man asks God the question, why, God? Amen? You ever see a dog look up at heaven and say, why? No, they live in the moment. But man wants to know why. Man can focus on eternity. And we want to know the meaning of life. We want to know why we are here. And we search for that meaning. And when we cannot know it, we manufacture it. Amen? The French Revolution provided us with a philosophy of humanism which dominates America today. We are frustrated, and we got frustrated with the reluctance of France to enter the Iraq war with us. But little did we know and little did we realize how they are already possessors of our most precious American territory, and that is our minds. Humanistic existentialism, which began in the Renaissance. It is taught in our schools and by the predominance of media programming. We still have our American slogan, which says, in God we trust. But unfortunately, we only say it. Our real trust is truly learning on our own ingenuity, our own imagination, and our own technology. And that is where the real stuff of our living takes place. You see, the trouble with that is that we don't really know where that living will take us. We may call all the shots of our lives, live in charge, but for what, folks? In the end, we have been born, we have lived 50, 70, or 100 years, and then we, like a blip on the radar screen, we disappear. To what end, says the philosopher, why am I here? Am I just another piece of vegetation to populate the planet Earth? There was a preacher by the name of Robert Brown. He expressed it like this. 20th century French existentialism requires an authentic acceptance of total meaningless, especially in the face of our own morality. But then it offers the creation of our own meaning by the free act of deciding. Its creed is by choosing this totally meaningless and irrational act and the direction of my life, I become the creator of my own meaning. I become the creator. Does that sound familiar? In Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Amen. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Sound familiar? The only answer the world's best philosophers agree upon is that we are here and we are little consequences. We will conquer that part of the universe. We can, while we still exist, a species, and then at some catalytic point in the future, human beings and plants will cease. Now, it may be an explosion that we'll bring upon ourselves with technology, they think, or SARS, or a disease like AIDS, or whatever it may be, but we are coming unglued, and someday we'll perish. And then there will be no one to judge. When the last one dies, it's over. That's what people think today. That is one end, the very hopeless and meaning outlook of why we are here. And doesn't, folks, and doesn't even really say why we're here. And the other extreme is the Eastern religions, where you are born, you live trying to do better than you your last incarnation, and then you die with a certain amount of karma. If good stuff you died with is more than the bad, you will be reincarnated into the next life a little better, a little higher than the last time. And finally, after many, many generations of trying, you live a perfect life, hunting no one, and you don't have to repeat the cycle. You just cease to exist in oblivion. Now, either way, annihilation or reincarnation, the philosophy of existence apart from God, folks, leaves no purpose. It leaves no meaning. Existence from God leaves no purpose, no meaning. These are the extremes. People who live in the extremes tend toward one of two philosophies of life. Hoping against hopelessness is a characteristic of those who sense there is nothing but hope they are wrong. They are swept along in life by trends. They are swept along in life by fads or possible loyalties. Much like the stockbroker will diversify to cover his losses, a person without hope, folks, actually hopes to stumble upon a future. But those who have accepted externalism, fundamental tenet, or meaningless, are those who live for this moment, generally gathering everything they can materially. You see, they understand something. They understand in the end it is meaningless, but scoring the most points is their meaning. A man like Ted Turner, who owns CNN, I believe he also owned the Braves, he said he doesn't really care about money. It's just a way the score is kept in big business. How could people think like that? This is a question that you might think about whenever this topic of why is discussed. See, why do people think on such a hopelessness plane? Even Christian people sometimes get caught up in the trap of feeling like life is empty or meaningless. And one of the reasons is the extremes. We have many of them in life. And they get our attention, don't they? Positive extremes. Years ago, people loved to watch a man show up at someone's door with a check for $1 million tax-free dollars. And only one condition is, don't try to find the giver. How extreme is that? When you read the story or watch the story of the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, the Tin Man, Lion, and Scarecrow are all looking for the perfect way out of their problem. In more current sense, we have seen the rise of the X Games and extreme stunts and skateboards and bicycles. And there's a show called Animal Planet exploring the most extreme animals and snakes with the biggest mouth and the longest fangs. The crocodile hunter getting closer than it is comfortable to some dangerous beast. And people like the Fear Factor for the most extreme grossness human things that can stand. They can do it all for 50 grand. People watch American Idol to see who can stand the most public humiliation for cracking and who will have instant fame or fortune. What is positive about that? They are all in it. They're all in the hunt, folks, for the biggest, most expensive, most extravagant experience, possession, or position. And they are extreme. They all say, I will ascend high above everyone else. Now, I can point to some extremes of which most of us have witnessed together over the past 20 years in this church. In our church, we have had very positive extremes. We have seen growth in our attendance. We saw our building fund grow along with the challenge to see it grow. We saw God bless us with the church to give record offerings for Christmas for Christ and Cheese for Christ and all these kind of things. And we have seen the purchase of this building and paying it off. And we have seen many babies born. We have seen extreme blessings, folks. And we have seen many baptized, many filled with the Holy Ghost. That is extreme. There have been many wonderful, positive extremes in Church of Pentecost. And there are negative extremes. We have experienced death of loved ones and friends. We have seen many who have experienced this wonderful salvation walk away from it. We have seen many that we have poured a lot of time in our lives into reject this experience. Now, these are extremes. Solomon knew all about extremes as he wrote Ecclesiastes. He tried everything under the sun and knew that the extremes were not where you find happiness, not where you find meaning. It's not in the extreme. Living life between the extremes. We read the scripture talking about the reality of understanding that the extremes are just a part of life, not the purpose or the sum of life, but it is a part of life. Solomon said that there is a time and a season, a purpose under heaven for everything. Now, you can't add to or detract from God's purpose as he allows or even sends the extremes in our lives. But folks, there is this. God has made us for living life between the extremes. In Ecclesiastes 3:11-13, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in this life, in his life. And also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. Now, when you think about it, when you think about this, folks, you think about this wonderful creation that God has created. We can experience the beauty of it, and we can experience the awesome destruction that can take place in such short periods of time in things like hurricanes and tornadoes and fires and snowstorms, and you can go on and on and on. It can destroy something that you've been worked years to build in a blink of an eye. But think back in your life with your loved ones, and think about the good times and think about the bad times. The real living was done between the extremes. Every family picture, old and new, paints a new picture of extremes. We look through the picture albums and we see what we used to be, one extreme. Now the extremes are just that, folks. They're bad and good in our understanding. The two pictures of then and now, wonderful and awful. But folks, they in no way measure the life lived between then and now. The day that such and such took place, the night the little baby was born, the death of a loved one, that wonderful vacation spent with all of the family, feeling the embrace and the kiss and the wet tears on my cheek from dad and mom for accomplishment. And you could go on and on and on. I'm telling you, folks, we live between the extremes. But in all of those are the extraordinary moments, the extremes. For the most part, their lives, like yours and like mine, are lived between the extremes. We live paying bills, we live driving to work, and we live diapering when we'd rather be sleeping, and we give, and we get up and we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We look for a child who's stayed out too late. We pray on the run. We're being honest, folks, loving without thinking about it. Or you could look at it this way. About 2,000 years ago, extreme events occurred. There was a birth of a Savior, born of a virgin and laid in a manger. The death of our Savior, folks, was extreme in itself, separated by 3 days. Day one is hung on a cross and gave his life for our sin. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Day three came in the other end of extreme possibilities. Jesus rose from the dead. You see, between those two extremes, Jesus descended to hell and he preached liberty in the captives. You see, all of us, folks, all of us have had extremes. Amen. There have been wonderful and awful things that have happened in our lives. In other times, folks, we had extremes, blessings. And in all, we are called to live between those extremes. To live in the liberty that Jesus preached to us as captives. To pick up and to move on. To know that God provides seasons for all things. And our main task is to enjoy what they bring and do good with in our lives. There are critics, and you hear them today all the time, who live only in the extremes. They never live between. They live in the extremes. They live for the high times and they desert when the bad times come. That's not, folks, hear me, that is not a Christian in action. But you can be a child of God, living and moving on between the extremes. You can live life between the extremes. And when the extremes comes, folks, he will be there with you to walk you through the stand, to walk you through the valleys. Amen? He'll be there with you. He'll be there through you, through the valleys, and shout with you on the mountaintops. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Amen. In Hebrews 13, 5 says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there in that valley with you. He's there in your lowest extreme. And he's there on the mountain because he helped you up it. He's there, folks. God has a plan for us. You see, those extremes, folks, there be those that we don't like. But it's only going to make you better. You can't live on the mountaintop forever. But it's in that life between those experiences is where we really live. Are you here tonight and you feel sometimes you're all alone? Come on. You say, God, where are you? God, where are you? I'll tell you what, folks, it is a great life living for Jesus Christ. It's an awesome life. No matter what extreme you're in, you can always be thankful that God is there with you. Is there anybody tonight that would like to come up here and say, God, thank you for always being there. Thank you, God, for always being with me. God, thank you for never forsaking me, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I need you right now. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, touch each one here tonight. Let your will be done, I pray, God. In the name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.